Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 539. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on this week, sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, I did get to do some amusing, somewhat live tweeting about the professional hockey game that I attended this evening. That was kind of a lot of fun. I did it mostly because the wife wasn't around, because if she was around, I'd just talk to her like an adult and not be on my phone all night. So,
oh, that's what adults do?
Well, I guess adults can do whatever the hell they want to, honestly. Because, yeah, there are certain adults that choose the phone. Yeah, live interaction is kind of the way to go. If you can get it, I suppose. But, yeah, my fan interactions tonight, it's just never fun. And it's been made more than... the thing, over the past season and a half, these seat neighbors, they've hated me since I said that that I was a Penguins fan. But I've been sitting beside them for like 7 years and people still won't talk to me. So it's hilarious. But also, in these 7 years, these dumbasses just really have not learned anything about hockey. Like, I marvel at their ineptitude. Like, and I know that they've been there longer than I've been there. Like, because you could tell that they were friends already the season that I joined in that section. So, I would have thought they'd know how hockey's played these days, but, oh, dear Lord, like, it's exhausting. It is just exhausting watching that. Or listening to that. Would you say it's a fair deal exhausting watching the WWE product these days?
That's certainly a word for it. Yeah. Yeah. Just another week, if we're just talking about SmackDown and Raw, just not a lot of meat on the bone there. I know it's the end of the year. It's always rough, especially after Survivor Series. Sometimes things can pick up the last week in December, but the beginning of December is always a dead period. This TLC pay-per-view is just completely dead in the water. They're not even bothering to announce any matches before.
Oh, holy
before next week, basically.
Oh, it's next week?
It's a week from this Sunday.
Oh, okay.
12 days away. There's only one more episode of Raw, and there are no matches announced.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh. As much as I said that, I could just watch the pay-per-views, that's probably a pay-per-view that is going to be a little tough to watch. Dear Lord. Yeah, I mean, the sheer volume that comes with the territory these days, I don't think that helps. But there are just not any compelling storylines. And I mean, I talked to Shahid about it last week, like, at least a little bit. But I mean, my wife was right. She's definitely watched more since we moved to the house, especially since my job change. And even she can tell how bad it's been. You know, I mean, that's how obvious it is. And like you said, like, this tends to be a period where even in a good year, this isn't a good time.
Right. Now, this year, I would say it's as it's as lifeless as it's ever been. Because I don't want to say it's even that bad. It's just boring. It's not. Oh. It's nothing. But it's in a way, it's worse than WCW at its worst or Impact at its worst, because it's so boring.
Yeah, that I guess that is kind of the other funny thing. I do agree with you. Is that there's just nothing there really. Like it just is what it is. Like it's kind of funny. Like because. You feel like even without mentioning the records in NXT, I feel like you get a better sense of where people are slotted simply by who they beat. And in the WWE, that is just one of those things that it's still just lost. Like who's where as far as, hierarchy goes. And that doesn't, it really doesn't help at all.
No, it doesn't. I mean, they are giving people wins over, lesser talent. There's certain people who are getting pushed right now, but the slow push, like Andrade or Aleister Black or Buddy Murphy, they're getting wins on TV, but they're not in anything, any kind of major stories. I mean, it seems like there are people being warmed up for 2020, but we're not to 2020 yet.
And then this is the other one that kind of bugs me is that, and you mentioned two of them, like, yeah, it's great to see Aleister Black, out here chewing up scenery and all that good stuff. Even if I don't really like it, it at least means that they like him enough to give him that time. But then they're going to have him and Buddy Murphy clash, and it's just like, no, these are guys that you need to keep away from each other for now if you're building them. Like, there's no reason to have Buddy Murphy go on a couple of show win streak and then just lose to Aleister Black or vice versa, They keep on kind of doing things like that all the time, and it's a little maddening.
Right.
Because both those guys could be something. And I guess going back to this the stale product, it's bad that I did not watch, because I traveled to my parents on Friday, I did not watch SmackDown until Sunday. I had to pull up a review just to remember what happened. It was completely out of my brain. Can you recall...
The only thing really of note, it was the Bray Wyatt Daniel Bryan saga, which did carry the show and was and so the show did have a central storyline that it focused on all night long, which is good and a hook for whatever it's worth, a hook for the end of the show, and the promising a new face in the Firefly Funhouse and getting people's speculation, going about is it going to be a person joining Bray Wyatt? Is the Joker getting his Harley Quinn? Is it going to be a new puppet? I guess what he meant by the new face is Daniel Bryan with a shave.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess that maybe they pulled the trigger a little too early on a new person on the Funhouse. Because after, yeah, the events of Daniel Bryan being brought down into the Firefly Funhouse, I suppose, by the Fiend, I would expect him or some character of him to pop up. I mean, it would be. Daniel Bryan has been rocking the caveman look for quite a while at this point.
Yes, he has. Yes, it's been, 7 or 8 years at least at this point that since he's began growing out his hair and his beard. He's groomed it some over the years, in particular during his general manager period,
Oh, yeah.
and then during his evil environmentalist period, he grew it all back. Just because he's supposed to be, more insane than ever. And now he looks, it sounds like we're going back to a Daniel Bryan we haven't seen in a very long time.
Yeah, and I mean, he's done a great job of freshening up his character recently. The heel run is the environmentalist certainly it seems to have helped get the crowd back on his side.
Yeah, it did. It made you, I guess, miss the. Now, it could have gone longer. Of course, a series of events led to a something of an emergency babyface return. Sooner than maybe that they had planned. But it's worked out fairly well. I don't mind the Bray Wyatt Daniel Bryan feud continuing through, through the end of the year here. Daniel Bryan gave Bray Wyatt his best match in this gimmick, and well, one of being probably still one of the Bray Wyatt's better matches, period. So it's good to kind of keep that going. It's something on WWE TV I do like.
Yeah, I'm always, that was the one thing about the wife's opinion is that I'm like, I disagree on some particulars. And she's not a fan of the Funhouse at all. But yeah, that was something that did at least keep my interest a little bit. It was one of those few times where I'm like, is a I'm sure I was at least a little bit annoyed that they chewed up that much scenery, but everything that they did kind of made some sense, and it was great getting the Miz involved.
Miz's involvement has been very good here. Intrigued to see where it's going because they keep having Miz pop up. Are we eventually getting the Miz and Daniel Bryan as a team, or is there some other swerve in the story coming? So they definitely got my interest with that. And they got what, like 4 segments on the show.
Yeah.
You may have seemed like eating up too much scenery, but would you rather have had more Baron Corbin?
No. I guess my point was, or I was trying to get to, was the fact that it, like, sometimes when someone's on for 4 segments, it seems like it's too much.
Gotcha.
And in this case, I didn't feel like that for,
Right.
for a
Okay.
change.
Okay.
Like, I mean, that is definitely something that I often criticize, but have fairly mentioned good examples. And I do think that, like I said, because the Miz was in one and he wasn't in the others, like, there were definitely some good segments that involved both of them that helped help keep everything fresh, even though it was being used a lot.
I liked it because I feel like there's not enough show long story arcs and storylines getting multiple segments per show. It seems like especially on Raw, everything is so segmented. You you have your time, then you're not on the show anymore. I mean, for fuck's sake, they did a kidnapping angle on Raw last night, and then we never saw Kevin Owens and AOP again, and then Kevin Owens had to hop on Twitter and make up an excuse for his own escape.
Oh my god, I completely forgot that they didn't give, like, I was trying to do some other stuff for family before I started Raw last night, so I got to it kind of late, and honestly, I was so tired I didn't even think about the fact that they did not conclude that storyline at all.
Yeah, no,
oh my god.
That was last we saw him.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Oh. What excuse did Kevin Owens come up with? Because I will admit, I also did not see that.
Well, he escaped. He's fine. He took an early flight out. He was home early enough to take his kids to school.
Oh, Jesus. Oh. Wow. Just wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't need to go with that for TV purposes, but because that... While that is hilarious to me personally, I'm not completely sure that's hilarious to the WWE necessarily.
Well, they forgot. What? I guess Kevin Owens could have gone dark on Twitter for a week, but you know, he strikes me as a guy who, when he thinks something is stupid, he will call him out on it. In the era where they're letting no one go, you might as well.
Yeah, I mean, it can't hurt, honestly. Like, and they need him. Like, he's one of those guys that, because was he on one of the Survivor Series teams?
Yeah, he was on the Raw team.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know why, I just feel like he hasn't been around. Like, I feel like they kind of pushed him for... Well, and maybe it's just because no one gets pushed at Survivor Series time unless you're going for the big title. Maybe that's more of what I'm thinking of, is that he kind of got backburnered a little bit since he wasn't going for the title at at Survivor Series. But he's kind of back in that picture frame, at least. I don't know if they'll put him there necessarily, because I'm trying to... Oh. Yeah, because he has the beef with Seth Rollins now.
Yes, he does.
And I guess that's one thing that I'm kind of interested in. Like, it's something that could make Seth Rollins good again, is if he is working with AOP.
Yeah, I would definitely like that a lot. They're seem to taking the more slower approach to Seth's heel turn. And, you know, it's looking more like he's playing a character who believes that he's right, but everyone, you know, boos him anyway, and he's very indignant about it. You know, the way that he after stopping KO after he was beaten down by AOP last week, thinking that he could just apologize and KO would want to be his partner. just this week was kind of funny, and yeah, I mean, it's pretty much been set for a while that Seth was going to have to turn heel, and he is, and I guess that as such, that makes KO the top babyface on Raw.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, they they could need him just because, I mean, he would be a fresh opponent for Brock Lesnar.
Yes, he absolutely would be. Yeah, they've never gone with that, so they could certainly serve to heat up KO for a run at Brock. You know, well, between Rumble and WrestleMania.
So I mean, that could make this if they put KO over, it certainly would help him towards those means. I'm trying to think of if anyone else in that segment really needs to be talked about much, but I think that kind of wraps that one up kind of nicely, because I don't feel any need to talk about Seth Rollins anymore right now.
But they did we've talked about the AOP attack, but they used the KO Seth Rollins storyline to transition into Bobby Lashley and Lana.
Just when you thought somehow they couldn't make this storyline dumber, they managed to find a way. Because, honestly, when I was watching the first time, I didn't even really notice Bobby Lashley bumping the on-duty officer.
I never saw him touch one of the officers.
Maybe I just heard it on the sound later. Maybe I didn't actually see it. That part's possible, but I feel like I might have seen him bump him at some point, and I'm just like, oh, that's why he got arrested. I'm like, you got to be kidding me! Like the Lana hauling off and slapping the guy. I can see that one might get you a little trip down to the courthouse. It's not going to really lead to anything, I don't think. But she really let the guy have it. But they are stretching that storyline in ways that I could not fathom. At all. It did not help the storyline at all.
No, it really didn't. Storylines based around restraining orders never usually work, because the person who has the restraining order on them typically just walks right through that, and then it maybe goes to jail, but then is back on TV the next week. So it never really has any real resonance.
I mean, that pretty much sums up those angles, because it's just like, how are you going to have a storyline involving two people if there's a restraining order? Like, it just doesn't make any sense at all. And, yeah. I mean, I guess they needed something to be in these spots, but yeah, again, you're not helping Lashley or Rusev in this story, really.
No. This story has gone off the rails multiple times so far, and I'm pretty sure it's going to continue to. Yeah, I mean, it was very silly last night, and I thought there maybe was the chance, in the last month for this thing to turn a corner into something interesting, but no, around that corner was a wall.
I mean, I feel like they could have salvaged something out of this, but I mean, and the other thing that doesn't help is that Rusev's pretty much kicked his ass every time. Or at least I feel like he's gotten his hands on him more than once. Because, I mean, the most recent thrashing while he was arrested, honestly, with handcuffs on, like, you got bitched when another man was in handcuffs, like, or at least partially in handcuffs. Lashley has just not looked good during this thing in any way. I mean, his promos have gotten better, but that isn't the be all end all of everything.
Right
So, man. Whew, just brutal, man. Yeah, that is a part of Raw that I would be more than happy to forget about. But unfortunately, that is not gonna happen. And I guess I'm trying to remember what other. Crazy stuff happened on Raw. Oh my gosh, did does the W, I guess, as creative as the idea was for the 24/7 championship, I'm tapped out.
Oh yeah, unfortunately, yeah, it's just done. Yeah.
And honestly, I don't I don't what word am I trying to look for? I'm okay with them having these title defenses won by celebrities because I know that they're getting publicity from that, but it also doesn't make me interested at all.
No, I mean, it's just R-Truth losing the title and then winning it back many times. That very same night. There's nothing really more to it. It's not leading anywhere right now. It had its moment, but now it's just totally long in the tooth. I don't even know what you would do to get interest back in it.
Yeah, that's a that's a good question. With that item knocked off the list, who else? Is the continued baby facing of Randy Orton still one of the stranger things that has happened this year somehow?
I don't get where Randy Orton turning babyface even became a thing. I don't. I mean, he'd done some fairly evil things throughout the last year or so. He was, seemingly also in his comfort zone as a heel. I mean, the RKO will always get a babyface pop, so he's at least got that. He'll always have that going for him. But it just seemed, well, it's like the RKO. It just seemed to turning back babyface just seemed to come out of nowhere. It was just there didn't seem to be any reason for it other than Seth was going heel, so someone else had to turn.
Yeah, and the crowd just like I really with this whole Ricochet thing, I've expected the other shoe to keep on dropping, but it's like no, it doesn't seem like this is dropping, at least for right now. Because, I guess it's another one of those matchups that they seem to be creating here. But Randy Orton versus AJ Styles, has that happened before?
It happened at WrestleMania.
Oh, dear Lord. Not good, Kevin. Not good at all.
I mean, it was a pretty thrown together deal, and it was essentially like the second match on the show, I believe. I mean, it was pretty good, but nothing to write home about.
Well,
that pretty much sums up the last the last 10 years of Randy Orton's career.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was amused by AJ Styles' barbs.
Yeah, I mean,
but I also am with Randy Orton saying, I can do it, so I'm doing it, dude. Like,
right. I mean, it's an interesting feud. You got Orton, who is, you know, Orton. He's solid, dependable, but not necessarily ever get anything too exciting out of him. And then you got AJ Styles, who appears to finally be physically slowing down some. So it's an interesting match in that regard, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't much of a surprise just because Styles really has been around for, what, the same amount of time, if not possibly more than Randy Orton?
I think AJ's been wrestling longer than Randy, yes.
So, yeah, that one's pretty bonkers that is the case. So yeah, you could expect him to be slowing down. It definitely seems like the smaller guys seem to pile up some injuries a little bit quicker just because they don't have as much to protect themselves in a lot of cases. Yeah, I mean, Orton, well, he can still have a good to great match with Orton, I would imagine. But, yeah. Styles is definitely in the heel camp right now, though. So that, like you said, that definitely makes Randy Orton still the babyface, which is pretty interesting. Yeah. Not something that I was expecting in 2019. Like you said, like, he's kind of done a lot of evil shit this year. So I'm not quite sure why this is, well, other than Rollins flipping, like, this really has come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really has, and once again, I think you're not alone in waiting for the other shoe to drop, because Randy just seems so disingenuous. I mean, he hasn't really done anything to turn. He's not. I mean, I guess he's going to be something of a lone wolf, badass baby face, but then kind of figures, well, Kevin Owens is certainly going for the Stone Cold Steve Austin vibe, so.
What? You don't say.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah.
That is something that, things like who's been in feuds might slip my memory from time to time, but Kevin Owens, A, getting the blessing on using the stunner is something a little hard to forget. So, I guess the only other interesting thing on Raw to me this week was Charlotte taking on the tag team champions. I was quite happy to finally see a handicap match that goes in favor. Well, I shouldn't say finally, but I feel like far too frequently the one defeats the two. It was nice seeing the two taking advantage of the fact that they indeed were two people.
It was a good handicap match. I certainly liked the finish. You could argue it took them too long because it was still two against one. But no, it was. But considering the history of tag team, not just tag teams, but tag team champions losing to top singles wrestlers in handicap matches, it was definitely refreshing to see them take advantage of the numbers game and use that to defeat Charlotte. Interested to see where this is going. It feels like it's, Charlotte and likely in a partner who I guess will be Becky Lynch against the Kabuki Warriors at TLC. But, yeah, I mean, this is the second week in a row that Becky hasn't been on Raw.
Yeah, that was one thing I was rolling through here, and I'm like, huh. I mean, I know that in a lot of ways I see less news, but in other ways, because Google is sending me more stuff just on my phone, I seem to get the headlines at least. And I haven't seen anything about Lynch being hurt or...
No, she's not hurt. In fact, she did, well, they, I know she did a, I saw it, she did a WWE.com interview where she talked about not being on the show for a second week in a row and that there's, you know, there's still forces against her and in some kind of like I guess a little bit of a, you know, a cryptic statement saying that everyone knows the fight she wants. And she doesn't care if it happens in the parking lot. She's going to get it. Now, something that, some vague wording about, you know, where her story is headed, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that really could be anyone, I suppose.
I mean... She's got the issue hanging overhead. Well, because she's been messing with the Kabuki Warriors as well. The Kabuki Warriors have been messing with her. She still has never technically beaten Asuka. But there's certainly also people, you know, speculating that when Becky says that, she also means Ronda, who she's never beaten in a one-on-one match.
Yeah, there are some interpretations to be had there. And those are those are the two big ones. But it's just always, you know, I guess if they go with Asuka, it's one of those things just like, hold on, you had to make her tag team champion to make her relevant and to show why she's a badass, like, man, there's just some there's some weird stuff just going on in the world of wrestling that
3 hour show and a seemingly very important promo from the current Raw Women's Champion and arguably the hottest star of 2019 ends up getting relegated to a website extra.
Yeah. Not good, kids. Not good. You know, I can understand leaving her off a show for 1 week. And, yeah, this is kind of funny. Like, it's arguing the inverse of what we'd normally argue. Like, some people could use a week off. I guess I could see giving her a week off, you know, just to make people want to see her. But 2 weeks in a row is... a head scratcher. Like, that's not one of those people that you take off for multiple weeks for no reason at all.
No. So it hopefully, hopefully there's a reason for this, and that there's big things planned for her. You know, headed into WrestleMania season. Because even if she is, the Raw Women's Champion is going to be challenging for the tag team championships at the next pay per view. It makes no sense.
Yeah, especially when you have the roster that you have, there should be someone in there challenging for the singles title, honestly. I understand having Charlotte move over to the tag team championship area just to keep her otherwise occupied so that she isn't in the singles hunt for a change. Although, you know, I guess it will be kind of interesting. At some point, that will kind of need to happen again. Becky and Charlotte. I'm not sure that that's what the next thing is on the horizon, but it will need to be a thing eventually again.
Right.
Especially if Becky continues to hold the belt. It would make a lot of sense to have Charlotte be the one to knock her off of the pedestal then at that point. Anything else from SmackDown still worth covering that we didn't go for? Like, I know that the through line there we talked about, but they're really, like, I was kind of shocked when I was reading this review of that there's only four matches, and yeah, I mean, I guess we got the return of Alexa Bliss, who was off TV for a little while there.
Yeah, there were actually a number of returns. Sheamus doing a return promo and also a backstage segment with Elias.
Oh. Yeah, that certainly makes SmackDown better in a hurry. I think all of the above. Because, oh man. Yeah, like, hopefully during this downtime, the WWE puts their heads together. And, yeah, these were three pretty significant pieces to add back to the SmackDown puzzle to make it more interesting. You know, like, we've kind of talked about SmackDown lacking since it moved to Fox. And, you know, Elias definitely gets a reaction. Sheamus, the dude's done pretty much everything in the WWE at this point. So I feel like you could slot him wherever you feel like slotting him. And, yeah, it definitely seems like Alexa Bliss is, gonna continue to be, in tag team action. Which seems to be a good course of action, given her injury problems as of late.
I like her. I've from pretty much the start, I've liked her in a team with Nikki Cross, especially since, you know, they, you know, it's, they didn't go the obvious direction of Alexa Bliss using Nikki Cross and then turning against her. It's, you know, a full babyface turn for Alexa. They really are good friends. Not that you can't do some kind of a turn down the line, because in modern WWE, no team except for the Usos gets to stay together for very long. And oh, Usos and the New Day. Sorry, New Day just passing their fifth anniversary.
Yeah, but you are correct. I mean, the shelf life on tag teams is definitely a short one.
Right, especially one like this. But no, it's good to have them as a team on the show. I mean, they've done a lot with Alexa Bliss, especially since they've done so much with Alexa Bliss as a single. She's won both SmackDown and Raw Women's Championships so many times, had so many, you know, pay-per-view singles title matches. It allows them to still feature her while also giving her a break from the main women's championships, which is good. And her and Nikki Cross are just a fun act.
Yeah, agreed. The other returns worth really expanding on? Is there anything more to really say with Sheamus?
It just seems like it's just gonna be Sheamus being Sheamus. I mean, interesting that, you know, he'll be returning as a single after years in a successful tag team. Almost funny that as soon as they put Cesaro in a singles role, he seems to be back in a tag team.
Yeah.
Although the tag team is with the singles IC champion, so I guess they're probably not going to be a regular team as long as Nakamura is still Intercontinental Champion, but who knows how long that's going to last either.
Yeah.
I mean, they started something with Braun Strowman after they just had they kind of haphazardly had transitioned away from the Daniel Bryan story because Daniel Bryan got called up to do the heavyweight Universal Championship feud. So they just kind of, clumsily had to transition away from the storyline with Sami Zayn and Nakamura trying to corrupt him to their side, and then did a deal where they insulted Braun Strowman. But then this is all right before Survivor Series, and then since Survivor Series, Strowman hasn't been was not on last Friday's show at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's yeah, that's another one that he's a pretty big name to have going MIA for. Is it only been 1 week? Is it
It's
only
only
been?
been one. It's only been a week. I once again, this still relatively new wrestling schedule. Still, I'm still not used to it.
Yeah, and yeah. Anyway, that's an after-show thing. Is there anything else during the week, just in case we don't get to a Thursday show that is worth mentioning? From like, I know that right now Impact is taping. Did you end up watching the Ye Olde version of Impact?
You know what? I gave it a shot, but then I realized that. Number one, I realized two things. It's just WWE's Southpaw regional wrestling's stretched out over 2 hours with actual matches, which, I don't feel like it really worked for me. And then I also realized, since I don't watch Impact, I don't know anything about most of these people who they actually are. So them playing exaggerated versions of themselves in an 80s motif didn't really land with me. I mean, there were
Gotcha.
people on the show I've literally never seen before in my entire life. I mean, what makes a parody funny is seeing characters and performers kind of goof around and do something completely different. Like watching John Cena do the announcer for the parody 80s Wrestling League Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Oh, right.
That's funny because it's John Cena playing this outlandish character. I don't know who the hell half of, once again, as I said, I don't know more than half of the people on Impact anymore are.
Yeah, that was a match or a show that I did not get around to watching. Like it hit the cutting room floor, so I have zero opinion on it. So I will probably eventually get around to it, but it will not be anytime soon here. Yeah, any other thoughts? Other shows maybe that you want to cover, or are we just gonna get on out of here and talk about beer?
You know what? Let's just talk about beer. Or you can talk about beer.
Well, I it said Columbus Blue Jackets game tonight. BrewDog, who recently created their manufacturing plant for the entire U.S. In just outside of Columbus, they have teamed with the Columbus Blue Jackets to have their own beer themed for the Blue Jackets. If you're not familiar with them, the Blue Jackets are named because Ohio sent more soldiers into the Civil War. So as a celebration after a goal is scored, a old-timey Civil War era cannon is shot off after every goal that the Blue Jackets score. So that is why the beer is called Cannon Blast. I thought it was pretty solid. Like, it wasn't anything too special because it didn't have any real, like, I always like when a beer has, even if I don't like the flavoring sometimes, I like when there's a more potent flavor. Like, I don't really like the pininess of some hops. But if people really play into it, it works out quite well sometimes. This one, it just kind of had a mild pininess to it, had a mild citrusiness to it. And the other trick that I tend to go with at any sporting event, my recommendation to anyone going to one of those, since they serve craft beer at all of them now, I always, since you have to pay a flat rate for beer, I always go with the highest ABV. And Cannon Blast, 5.0%, definitely not the highest ABV, so it is not the best bang for your buck. So though it was a decent, good beer that most people would probably enjoy, it's a solid pale ale. I guess that is the other thing. I do like pale ales, but it definitely didn't have a whole lot of distinguishing characteristics. So yeah, solid, not great. So that is the Beltane beer of the week. I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.